pastor at St. Andrew Primitive Baptist Church, Panama City. Wonderful friend to this church and a dear friend of mine. May the Lord bless you on this morning.
My friend as well. I certainly enjoy friendship with this church, and I've never had a bad time with you. It's always been a sweet and a precious time. Certainly did enjoy the message that our dear brother preached last night. It was a powerful message, one I rejoiced in all the way home and went to bed rejoicing in, and woke up this morning rejoicing in it again. This morning, if the Lord be pleased, I'd like to speak with you concerning a subject that's found in Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 to 29. I'd like to speak to you concerning an astonishing doctrine. Our text says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes." Something that is astonishing is something that you hold in great awe. It is something that is highly unusual, that attracts you in your mind, and you stand before it and behold it with majesty. Oftentimes, those things that you are astonished at cannot be readily explained. It challenges your mind. Is what I'm seeing real? Is it true? Could it possibly be true? Oftentimes you hear people say, "I just can't believe what I'm hearing. I can't believe what I'm seeing. It's just beyond my ability to comprehend. This thing just can't be true." And sometimes you hear people say, "It's just too good to be true. It's too good to be true." But all that Jesus Christ said is true. And yet today, after 2,000 some odd years, we're still astonished at his teachings. He taught them as one having authority. He presented himself in the manner in which he spoke. And those things he said touched them as being the truth and valid, different from the way the authorities taught, the Pharisees taught, because they taught a system that brought glory to man. What Jesus Christ had just taught them took the unglorious and declared it glorious. Let's look at what he just taught them that held them in such awe that they were so astonished. This message in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 was the opening message for the kingdom of God. They knew that the kingdom was coming. Even the Sadducees, even the Samaritans knew that the kingdom was coming. They knew what Daniel prophesied. They could count the calendar. They knew about 70 weeks. They knew what Isaiah had prophesied. They knew all of those things. They were waiting for the Messiah. Now he's come, but he came out of a place called Nazareth. Nobody, that's anybody, comes out of Nazareth. They were astonished at that. And by the way, he didn't look like a king. He didn't look like a priest. If he were to walk in the room today, in today's environment, he'd just look like anybody else in the room. Until he opened the spirit and you could see him. And as our brother mentioned last night, when John saw him come walking on the bank, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." My goodness, isn't that astonishing? That taketh away sin. This is not just a symbology. He actually took it away. That's astonishing, isn't it? Well, when he opened his mouth in Matthew 5 and verse number 2, and he opened his mouth and told, I like the way the scripture talks. I wouldn't want to change a word, would you? I'm astonished at the word of God. He opened his mouth, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords, that they thought was nobody. He opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying some strange or very astonishing things. The Jewish authorities taught that you've got to be somebody to be somebody. You've got to meet a code. You've got to keep the law perfectly in order to be somebody. And only a very few have kept that code. And if you haven't kept that code, then you're in a sad shape. But his doctrine was astonishing, because he reached down and he touched the heart of those who are poor in spirit. They're poor little children of God that just woke up every morning and said, "Lord, I am not worthy. I'm not worthy to be called thy son. I'm not worthy to even lift up my eyes unto heaven. I don't think very highly of myself. I see myself as a wretched sinner, undeserving of thy sweet grace and mercy." But notice what he said. He says, "Blessed is that poor soul who sees themselves as nothing but a zero. No one cares. Why should anybody care about me?" But he says, blessed. The word blessed means elevated and well off. He says, you're well off if you see yourself as that person poor in spirit. You're in good shape. Well, that's astonishing, isn't it? You're in good shape if you see yourself as a zero. Well, the truth of the matter is, we see ourselves as a zero because he has made us something. He took something that was nothing and made something out of it. How about that? That's astonishing, isn't it? Then what about those that mourning? I mean, life is just seems like it's one misery after the other, like Job's experience, and one trouble after the other. Before one trouble was settled, there's another one. He says, well, those folks who are mourning because of the difficulties of this life, all they want to do is go to church and sing and pray and preach and fellowship and enjoy each other's love, and all kinds of bad things keep happening. Y'all ever hear of any bad things? I tell you, we watch the news in the evening, my wife and I. Well, we start to watch it, and so we're turning on. I says, how long do you think it's going to be before we hear some bad news? Don't they know any good news? We go to the house of God to hear that astonishing good news, do we? He says, those that mourn, he says, they're blessed too. Those who have things in this world that causes them to mourn and to discourage them. Do you know I discourage myself? I look in the mirror in the morning and say, my goodness, how could anybody love something like that? Especially God. It makes me mourn within my soul. But he says, a person like that is in good shape. That's astonishing, isn't it? Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The mourners are going to be comforted while they're mourning. Maybe in the dark. How about that? Blessed are the meek. Not those Pharisees that stand on the street corners, want everybody to see them and present themselves as being in charge of the whole world. But that little meek person that nobody ever notices, all they want to do is just humbly cry out to their God and hear that sweet gospel just wash over them with joy and peace. Well, that little meek person, he says, that person is well off. Listen to what he says. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That little meek person that you just couldn't, you thought there was nothing to them, he says, they're going to inherit everything. By the way, the Jews didn't know that, but they were going to lose everything. And the meek inherit the earth. How about that? We've got a mighty God. His doctrine is astonishing, isn't it? It's contrary to human intellect. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. All they want is what's right. The right of God causes our heart to rejoice. Isn't that what we want this morning? Just the right things of our God. Don't you hunger after that? All the corruption, the pollution, the dishonesty, the failed integrity, the immorality. All our heart wants is the right things of our God. He says, you're going to be filled. How about that? That's astonishing. How are you going to feel that person who's confused and discouraged in this world. We come to the house of God, just like they came that day. I would almost calculate this as the first meeting of the church with the Lamb. How about that? And what were they? They were filled, were they, with an astonishing doctrine. Blessed are the pure, or the pure in heart. That means, how do you get a pure heart, by the way? Can preachers give folks a pure heart? No, I'm afraid not. Mom and daddy give their children a pure heart? No. Neighbor give others a pure heart? No. You get a pure heart because God puts it in you. He's given us that heart. He says, if you've got that pure heart, then you're able to see yourself as a dirty, unworthy sinner. And then this man comes along from Nazareth and said, you're saved by grace. That's an astonishing doctrine, isn't it? Blessed are they which are persecuted when everything is against you. You ever wake up and say, I just don't know how I'm going to make it through this life. Everything is against me. Every time I try to do the right thing, some bad thing happens. Do you ever have that experience? He says, well, you're well off. Lord, that is astonishing doctrine. You're well off when everything is going wrong. Maybe in the dark, you're still well off. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That kingdom of heaven is a refuge. It's a place where we flee to. We come out of the world that is so hostile to the righteous and pure heart. We come out of the world and we find a refuge, a city that's walled around, a place where we can come together and we can feel at peace and at ease, loving one another and feeling the love of the Son of God. Blessed are ye when men revile you, or they make fun of you because you cling to your Bibles. He says, you're good off. You're well off. You know why you're well off? Because there is a distinction between you and those who have religion as a facade. Pure religion and undefiled. That's what we're after, isn't it? Blessed are you. That means you're well off. When they say bad things about you, you're in good shape. How about that? That's an astonishing doctrine, isn't it? Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. He says that's when you rejoice. Well, that is an astonishing doctrine, isn't it? It's astonishing. Then he goes on to say, oh, you poor folks, you meek folks, you persecuted folks, you downtrodden folks. He says, ye are the salt of the earth. It's you that makes this world palatable to the Lord God Almighty. You're the reason he reveals himself. You're that which brings pleasure to God. You're the salt of this earth. He says, but we need to be careful to make sure that we continue to salt the earth with our behavior toward him. Not only that, you are the light of the world. That's astonishing. That poor in spirit person, that meek person, that person that nobody wants, that nobody cares about, the one that everybody talks about and defames. He says, you're the light of the world. It's your behavior. That's astonishing, isn't it? You mean me? Little old me? When I look at me, I don't think I'm the light of anything. But the light of the world, he says, the Lord says, that's you. You just don't think very highly of yourself. But God says, I think highly of you. Then he says, think not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I didn't come to destroy it, but I come to fulfill it. Those Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes, and priests, all they do is talk about the law and try to impose that law on people that they can't keep the law themselves. But I came to fulfill it. I come to satisfy the law. That's an astonishing doctrine. So that generation after generation and generation, they're not trying to bind that law to people when they can't even keep the law themselves. Jesus says, I came to fulfill it. My job here is to satisfy that law, to liberate you from the bondage of that law. Well, that's not all. His astonishing doctrine just goes on. Can you see that crowd just building as he's talking and the joy just filling them? And I bet you somebody even shouted in that crowd.
Verse number 21, he says, ye have heard, and we've heard many things, haven't we? He says, ye have heard that it was said unto them of old that thou shalt not kill. He says, but you know what? If you're angry with your brother without a cause, you've killed him. And that's astonishing, isn't it? He begins to talk about our behavior and our relationship with each other. We need to be careful what we think about each other, how we talk about each other, how we entertain each other. That's astonishing, isn't it? Because the Jewish authorities, I mean, they were good at hating. If you didn't meet their code, you were hated. By the way, even if you were from Nazareth, you were hated. If you were from Galilee, you were hated. I bet they would have even hated those old boys from Perry, Florida, down there in the swamp, you know. You know those meek folks? All they wanted to do was go to church. The Lord says, you're in good shape. Then in verse number 27, he says, ye have heard that it was said of them of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now listen, this is astonishing. He says, if you looked at a woman to lust after her in your heart, you've committed adultery. Boy, that's an astonishing thing, isn't it? He's talking about the pure in heart, those whose greatest desire is to focus upon the Lord and serve him and honor him. And when we do mess up, we're grieved in our spirit. We're poor. And that's what it means to be poor in spirit. I look at me and say, Lord, I've missed the mark. But let us say, if you know that you've missed the mark, you are in good shape. And then he goes on. Verse number 31. But, you know, folks are always saying things. He said it had been said, it hath been said, Whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorce. What that means is if somebody gets just tired of his wife, you just write out a bill of divorcement and cancel that marriage. He says that's not the way God intended it from the beginning. Except for the case of fornication or adultery, you better not do that. That's astonishing because the Jewish authority says, if you get tired of your wife, just write it out. I'm tired of my wife. You know, she can't cook anymore. She's getting wrinkles in her face. And maybe the wife can do the same thing. I don't know. You know, my husband lost all of his hair and he's not handsome anymore. He can't work real hard anymore. And so I'm just tired of him. I'm going to get a younger model. The Lord says, that's not to be. That marriage or relationship is until death do you part. Well, that's astonishing because that was contrary to the things that they were taught every Sabbath. Well, for the sake of time, let's move on. Oh, I like this one, verse number 38. He says, well, you've heard it said. Folks are always saying things. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I say unto you that you resist not evil. That's astonishing. And you know, I've, this is one of the areas of scripture that I am indeed astonished at. I remember my basic training. Some of you have already been through it. And you had to stand there with some man's face about that far from your face and him calling you every sweet name under the sun. And you had to stand there and take it. Now, this old boy raised in the swamp was raised up to defend himself. I was bigger than the guy that was shouting and hollering at me and saying ugly things about my mama. This fire built up in me. I'm glad he quit when he did. Because he was challenging me and he nearly met the challenge. The Lord says, you know, just don't be that. That's an astonishing thing. You just be humble and meek. Just let it roll off your back. That's the way we're supposed to be to each other. Just let it roll off our back. Somebody say something that offends us, just let it roll off our back. Just put it aside and keep going. Then verse number 33, you've heard it said. You know, people are always saying things. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemies. Well, that's a good philosophy, isn't it? Hate them that hate you. Well, that's what they'd been taught. Well, the Lord gave them an astonishing doctrine. He says, love your enemies. And what that means, somebody that's done something to harm you, said something. Now, this is a challenge. Somebody that said something against you to offend you, said bad things behind your back, love them anyway. When you see them, reach out and take their hand and say, it's good to see you, brother. And grit your teeth and find a way to mean it. That's an astonishing doctrine, isn't it? It truly is. Chapter 6. take heed that you do not your alms before men. If you're going to give somebody something, you know, I know what you're accustomed to, the Lord says. You're accustomed to call out the whole city and say, I'm giving this poor wretched soul a $20 bill. I want everybody to know that I have a gracious and a kind and benevolent spirit. I'm giving this poor soul a $20 bill. I want you to see, y'all see this $20 bill? I don't like who's on the bill, but it's a $20 bill. The Lord said, don't do that. You just get this dear brother, this sister aside, and you let it be between you, them, and the Lord. Nobody needs to know anything about it, because it's honoring to God and it feeds your soul. That's an astonishing doctrine, isn't it? Oh, by the way, he told them the same thing about prayer. He said, don't make a big deal out of prayer. Prayer is a big deal in itself. But a big deal prayer is not the way you present yourself in public. A big deal prayer is what you say in your most private moments, where it's nobody but you and the Lord. Imagine you and the Lord talking together. And by the way, the Lord does speak to you. We were admonished last night, when you get through talking to the Lord, just meditate for a while and wait on the Lord. You know, he does answer that. I'll sit there on that bench and say, Lord, I know that my name's going to be called. So, Lord, I need some help. And so I quit singing. I sat there. And the Lord said, okay, I heard you. That's all I need to know, is that he heard me. And what a blessing it is to know that your prayers have been heard. Oh, and by the way, when you pray, you don't need to repeat the phrase over and over and again. God knows what you said the first time. That's astonishing, because they use those long flowing prayers, repeating the same phrases over and over again. The Lord says, just say what's on your heart and get it done. Then he gives us how to pray. And you know, he says, you address your prayer to our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, not my name, not the priests or the Sadducees or the Pharisees' name, but hallowed be thy name. Your name is the greatest name of all. Hallowed be thy name. It's thy kingdom. And it's come, and I get to be a part of it. Oh, that's an astonishing doctrine. And he says, skipping on, verse number 13, here's an astonishing doctrine. You've heard the doctrine that says, if you give your hand and your wallet to the Lord, life is going to be easy and breezy, and you'll have 10 times as much wealth as you did before. Have you heard that? Everything's going to be fine. Listen to what Jesus Christ said in his astonishing doctrine. Chapter 7, verse number 13. He says, enter ye in at the straight gate. That means the gate with difficulty. It's a difficult thing to follow the Lord your God. That word straight means with obstacles. If you have this burning desire in your heart to follow Jesus Christ and to obey him, you need to expect difficulty. Don't be surprised when it happens. When Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me, my friends, he's telling you to be ready to suffer for his cause. So the question is he worthy of our suffering for his cause? Amen. Truly, that's an astonishing doctrine, isn't it? Well, that's when he gets on down to verse number 28, when he's finished, and Matthew records, and it came to pass, after all of that had been said, he had preached the introductory sermon for his kingdom, and it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. It's still an astonishing doctrine even today, isn't it? Now, one more. Let's go with me to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, I think that's where I want to go. Luke chapter 4, the Lord was filled with astonishing teachings. Luke chapter 4 and verse number 32, when he says, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Well, he told them, he says, you know, back when the prophets of old
One of them went into a city, and that woman, Sarephath, they were, the Lord blessed her, and weren't there other widows in that place that was in trouble? But he blessed her. Is God obligated to bless anybody? Nope. Only that which he's committed out of his own heart. The point is, God blesses whom he will. And the rest of us just need to be satisfied with what we have. That's an astonishing doctrine, isn't it? Let me tell you of another astonishing doctrine real quick. When we die, you remember the Sadducees and then the Pharisees questioned the Lord on this. Ask him about this woman that had a husband. The husband died. Well, he died. And then the tradition was that if she had no children, then the next brother had to marry her. And well, there were seven of those brothers and they all died. So they asked him the question, well, in heaven, which one's going to be her husband? He says, you do err not knowing the scripture. In heaven, there's neither marriage nor given in marriage, but where's the angels? Now, let me tell you something about that. The Lord even goes, let me get this one point in there too. The Lord even goes on to say after that, he says, don't you remember what God said to Moses at the bush that burned and was not consumed? God says, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is the God of living, not the God of the what? Dead. That's an astonishing thing, isn't it? When we die, my friends, the body dies, but the spirit does not. That's an astonishing thing, isn't it? They were astonished at his teachings that when we die, we're not really dead. God's the God of the living, not of the God of the dead. He's the God of those who are walking on this earth. He's the God of those who have ascended to heaven that's gathered around the throne of God. And can't you hear him right now saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. No wonder Paul said, to die is gain, to go to be with the Lord. He says, that's far better than anything we have on this earth. That's an astonishing doctrine, isn't it? May God bless you, is my prayer.